now proudly presented on SNME. That's Sunday Night's Main Event. Patreon and free feed.
We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore, fine. Winter ready on the four ties. Heavy traffic during 4-5. Got to hustle on the own time. Color people every port side.
We just Hey guys, what's going on? It's your host, your boy George Mackay here in the Straight Talk Studios. And I'm here with, as always, my one and only PIC.
It's Uncle Bobby B, baby. Sorry, I thought you were doing that intro for me.
I was, but then I thought, we're both not running full steam today.
We are, this is exhaustion, but we're still grinding it out because we have to get, this was a pretty good pay-per-view, and we had to run something on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're not sure what we're talking about, we're talking about War Chamber Part 2. That's right, War Chamber 2. It happened yesterday, 420. Shout out to all my 420 faithfuls. You know who you are out there in the world.
Yeah.
Bobby B is one of them. Since I quit smoking now 4 months, I have now switched to straight up the drinks and the edibles, but I'm still getting my 420 on. Just not in a smoking form because it doesn't do well for me.
I don't even know where all my stuff is. I must have left it upstairs.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Leave it up there. Because right, I don't want the studios to be sullied.
Sullied.
Sullied. I don't want the studios to be sullied, okay? So let's talk.
Now I'm sullying your studio.
No! Don't do it.
Anyways, continue.
You fucking Jew.
Continue speaking.
All right. So let's talk War Chamber Part 2 and all the things that was excited. So this show's main event. You're really going to... You're doing it. No. Do not exhale.
Continue speaking. Don't say anything. We're going to get demonetized.
We're not even at the monetized stage yet anyways.
We're never going to get there.
You're never going to get there if you keep doing what you're doing? All right, fair enough. So, War Chamber Part 2, the main event taking place between the Death Fighters, which is Akira's spin-off faction, if you will, the faction that is actually following Raven, and the Calling, which was the original faction that is now built in Ricky Shane Page's image. That is our main event, but we had a lot of great matchups to get through. Let's get to it, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
All right, first match on the card was Virus, representing Cesar Durant's, I guess, Lucha Company, if you will.
Azteca Lucha.
Azteca Lucha. And then we had Star Jr. representing Promocios Dorado. And as always, I mean, Virus is a legend in CMML. He's one of the coaches. He's actually Star Jr.'s coach, believe it or not. And these two had a barn burner of a match. As always, whenever MLW or any promotion in general kicks off wrestling with luchas, it's a good time. And these two delivered on every aspect. And I gotta say, Virus, for somebody who's in the twilight of his career, still could go. Could go more than most young wrestlers now, to be honest with you.
And yeah, now that I've done some training, so I recognize certain things like roles and other things. And just to see how clean, like even at that age, you lose some agility, but you don't lose that technique. And just super clean and all the spots looked great. That's the essence of experience right there. You can be as athletic as you want, but the experience and the timing, it was great. So, you know, lucha match that I always enjoy, and this was no exception.
Absolutely, and unfortunately it did not go CD's way as we build towards Chicago now, where it will pretty much be Promocios Dorado versus Azteca Lucha. Star Jr. gets a huge victory and that keeps the momentum going in Promocios Dorado's favor as they kick off the show. And Star Jr., man, I gotta say, this kid's got a bright future. Every time I see him, he's impeccable. He's already a staple in CMLL, but now that we're getting to see more of this working relationship with CMLL becoming the forefront with MLW, I'm absolutely enjoying what I'm seeing. It's like last year when we had that taste of Dragon Gate and everything Dragon Gate could bring in and All Japan could bring in. It's very, very exciting, and also working with New Japan as well sometimes. But now we're seeing the CMLL relationship paying off dividends. And I'm enjoying every ounce of it. Now we're going to be highlighting it in this Lucha versus Lucha promotional show that we got coming in Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, how genius is it of MLW to be building this story for as long as they've been building it, and now we get the payoff? Because everything we're fighting for is for that key. That key that was handed to Dummy XO that now has a working relationship with CD. And Selena could hold the ultimate power, or CD could continue to hold the ultimate power in Lucha, which we still don't know what this ultimate power is. Obviously, it's got to be a pro wrestler, but who?
Well, wasn't it, didn't we do this before? Didn't they have the key before? Who was his, wasn't it like his son or his brother or something?
No, the key was Jeff Cobb.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So are we going to see that again?
Jeff Cobb again?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be Jeff Cobb again, but it's definitely going to be a wrestler of some kind. Jeff Cobb paid dividends for CD the first time around.
Like, if they didn't already have him working, you know what would have been great is if it was Bad Dude Tito. Because he could have came in and laid waste to everybody, but it's a little late for that now because he's already been...
Well, he's got a main event title match tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, yeah, Bad Dude Tito. But, I mean, again, Bad Dude Tito, if they brought him in, and at that time, if he was the ultimate power, all I'm saying is it's very reminiscent of Jeff Cobb. They just replaced one big, beefy wrestler with another big, beefy wrestler.
Yeah. And?
Well, I mean, it's the same payout. I want a different payoff, is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. What do you want them to bring out? Microman as the ultimate power?
No, I didn't say Microman. Why are you going so left field with it? What I'm saying is I'd like to see somebody maybe we haven't seen before.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. If we hadn't already seen Bad Dude Tito, he would have been somebody we had not seen in MLW before.
But then I think the opinion or the mystique would have been lost because they're like, oh, they probably couldn't get Jeff Cobb, so they brought this dude in. And anybody who doesn't know Bad Dude Tito would automatically make that statement. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Fine.
You don't have to agree with me, but it is what it is. Next match on the card was for the tag team titles. WTF making a promotion. I see you. WTF making a promotion. Making a promo, sorry. And Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Making a promotion.
Yes, very much promotion. So making a promo and just shitting all over Alex Kane. Shitting all over everything that happened at the previous War Chamber with AJ Francis getting the win via the low blow, the distraction from St. Laurent, and now focusing on the fact that Alex Kane is a, to put it in Tom Lawler's words, fraudulent champion. A champion that should have never been a champion, and to insult the head of Boumaier, disrespectful. But regardless, the mind games continue, and as Boumaier Fight Club, Mr. Thomas and Alex Kane get ready to fight for these tag titles, WTF comes out, Golden Toe, MSL in tow, and joining him on commentary, the arch nemesis, the current arch nemesis of Alex Kane, AJ Francis. And this was genius because Kane was distracted pretty much the entire match. He hit some big maneuvers. Thomas and him worked well. That move where Thomas came barreling out of the corner and Kane just frog splashed him over himself.
Awesome.
And then Thomas, not only that, but the over-the-top dive to land 360 and land on his feet, running full steam all the way. Like, Thomas, every time I continue to see this guy and what he could do in the ring, much like Alex Kane, he continues to impress. Just when you think you've seen it all from these guys, they pull out a different maneuver from their repertoire. And it sucks for me to say this after saying all that amazing stuff. They did not secure the win. AJ Francis distracting Alex Kane again, talking smack on commentary, basically making it a 2-on-1. Lawler gets the belt. They hit Thomas with the belt, knock him out cold. And again, Thomas is left to his own devices because AJ Francis in this moment got the best of Kane again.
Yeah, and it's not boding well for the king of the Boumaier Fight Club right now. Like, man, it's rough to watch because we all know what's coming. And Alex Kane has got the perseverance to get through it, but AJ Francis is really, really going after him.
On every side note, I mean, even attack the man's mohawk. You're going to have a mohawk in 2024? Yeah, why are you going after the mohawk? For? Alex Kane pulls the mohawk off better than most people, 100%.
Yeah, don't hate that. You're wearing like dollar bill leggings. Like, don't hate on the man for having a mohawk.
Fair enough. I could say the same thing about don't hate on a man with dollar leggings, but I agree with you on the outfit. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Don't hate. There's nobody was hating on his dollar leggings. Don't hate on the man's mohawk.
Well, I think we both agreed that there was just a lot going on for his.
Well, his gear is very loud, but it kind of, he's loud, so it kind of fits him.
Yeah, the gear has to reflect the person. I 100% see what you're saying.
He's loud and out there, so it matches him. Even if it is like a visual assault, it fits.
It definitely is a visual assault. That gear really does give you a pounding headache.
Everything gives me a pounding headache these days, bro.
That's just old age. Yeah. Anyways, so unfortunately, but we do know that Chicago, we are going to get Alex Kane and AJ Francis too in combat. That's all Francis said. It's going to be total combat. I'm not sure exactly what this means. Are we going to get like a Mortal Kombat type feel? Are they going to again remove the ropes? Like, I'm not sure. I'm not saying there's going to be some
guy up there. Uppercut him and fall down into a pit of spikes.
Okay, easy now. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, are we going to get this like no ring feel that we got with the catch wrestling match that we have between Davey Boy and Alex Kane? I'm just not sure what Total Combat consists of, but I guess we'll find out come Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, AJ is more of a brawler, kind of striker, but Alex, I mean, that would fit him. I mean, to me, that's an advantage to Alex if you do some sort of no-ring combat situation, personally, but hey, we'll see what happens.
100%. And next match on the card, we got returning to the MLW locker room, Butt Heavy. Butt Heavy making his return, looking good, looking solid, got rid of the blonde mullet, I guess you will, and just decided to go with a more shaved look, looking solid, still drinking, still partying, still having a good time, and he was pretty much squashed instantaneously by Brett Ryan Gosling, all over Butt Heavy, from throwing his jacket at him right before the bell rang, to literally decimating him, and it sucks to see, because Butt Heavy for a while there was a staple, and I thought they were really going to push him with the introduction of Gnarls Garvin. They had the tag team going, but it just kind of, that storyline seemed to fade away very quickly as it started, and we never got to see a payout for that. So it was good to see Butt Heavy back in the MLW locker room, but unfortunately not a great return for him, because Brett Ryan Gosling squashes him in under 2 minutes, then proceeds to insult him and every member of Tampa audience before leaving the arena, and again insulting him on the way out because he was making his way to the back, and again Butt Heavy insulted. This was a relatively quick squash match, and I'm not sure, I mean, I get the need to push any member of WTF right now, and Brett Ryan Gosling being a part of that, but I just feel like you're pushing so many components of WTF right now, and I get it. Even after the post promo from WTF after retaining the titles, saying, I still have your title belt, I sleep with it every night, Court, let's talk, we don't got to be enemies anymore, WTF has all the gold. Then Kojima came over and smack talk and said, we're going to see you in Chicago for the tag title. So obviously Cozy Max going for the tag titles in Chicago. But I mean, why do you think, above all the names they have in WTF, and I figured with Richard Holiday returning and all the perseverance that he faced, I figured there might be a little bit of a solo push for Richard, but Richard, all we saw today was getting assaulted in the back by Contra. So you want to push Gosling, but you're not going to push the most marketable one? That I don't understand.
Well, yeah, I think they've got to kind of finish the stories that they've got going before they get into new ones. But just going back to this match real quick, great to see Bud Heavy back. I didn't fully understand. I guess I kind of do from a wrestling perspective. Bud Heavy's kind of a hometown. He's a Florida boy. They're in Tampa. My Tampa Bay Renegades. And so I get it. Like, you have BRG just squash him and then rip on the hometown crowd and just to suck all the positivity out of them. But I also
Sucking positivity out of you. Yeah.
You could have let them go 5 minutes, but get a little offense in, pop the crowd a bit, and then BRG just dominates them for a bit. I just didn't see the whole point in making this such a squash. They could have let them go a few minutes, but hey, it was what it was, and it's building BRG, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of those young talents, the king of Kenergy.
Yes, Joe Dombrowski. Joe Dombrowski. Yeah. Shy side note, on fire. He was a poet and didn't even know it. We'll get to that a little bit later. Just great. A lot of great monikers and nicknames coming out of this one for sure. And next match on the card, we actually had to fill time. Believe it or not. So as the next couple of matches were preparing, we had to show a match that was filmed earlier in the day, which was featherweight action. It was Zeta versus Sofia Castanillo, I believe her name was.
Castillo.
Sofia Castillo, 7-year pro, trained from WXW, trained by one half of the Samoan Warriors, AFA. And, she's made a staple for herself in Puerto Rico. She's cut herself a good little situation out there. Apparently she was a 1 or 2 time Puerto Rican women's champion. So definitely a big deal over there, trying to make waves in America right now, and MLW being a definite springboard for a lot of great talent here. Smart decision on her to take the booking. The match was decent. Wasn't horrible. What was surprising was Selena De La Renta on commentary and just annihilating and abruptly shit-talking both of these women. And I get that's her character, But I found some of the things she said might have been a little bit too over the top or a little bit too much curtain pulling back, saying that if Sophia hadn't made it in the States 7 years in, she probably wasn't going to. And Zeta just abruptly is the worst wrestler, according to Selena. And I get it, the whole beef with Jannai Kai and who Selena represents. I get it. But to insult someone who's probably trying to make a name for themselves on MLW in her debut match, which she wasn't horrible in, it was actually a really good match. Zeta, by the way, winning, hitting the I'm Prettier. But I don't know, what did you think about Selena's commentary, man? Especially the shots at Sophia. I didn't find it to be so necessary to move anything ahead. Just thought it might have been a little bit over the top, but I guess we don't expect nothing less from Selena. Hey,
Selena's a savage. And just to a little bit about Sophia Castillo, she is a Costa Rican American and moved to the U.S. at the age of 16. She attended college in Florida, majoring in sign language interpretation, which is awesome. But yeah, she looked pretty good. And I mean, I like seeing new faces in there, getting some people some exposure. And she was also...
Absolutely.
She was a bit of a punching bag for Selena.
But like you said, you wanted to see from Bud Heavy, she actually did get some offense in.
Which
she
I
did.
Like,
she did.
Right?
She did.
So, and, you know, Zeta, again, much like BRG, she's some of that young talent that MLW... Like, Zeta's only 20, 21 years old, I think. So, she, you know, they're investing...
22 at most, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. And she's, you know, she's sounding better, more confident on the mic every time we see her. So good for her. But yeah, I just thought the match was all right. And Selena was a bit of a savage, but that's Selena, man.
No, I'm not. I clearly did say it's not what we've come to expect this from her. She is a bit of a savage. I just feel there's a way to be a savage and still not shit all over someone. That's my whole point, because...
No, there isn't. That's what being a savage is. You're a savage.
I disagree.
I don't tell somebody they're a savage when they, like, give somebody constructive criticism. I call them a savage when they, like, destroy that person verbally.
But we've seen people get destroyed verbally, and it works out to be... I don't know. I just found
okay,
the
shot... Okay, you can be a classy savage, I guess, but...
I just found the shot of her saying if she hadn't made it in 7 years, she's probably not going to. Probably not, but, don't take away from the fact that this young lady has carved herself out a decent following and representation in Puerto Rico. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Respect the international side of her.
Savage.
Dickhead. All right, next match we're going to go to is Matt Riddle. No, dickhead. Matt Riddle versus Timothy Thatcher. We've seen this a bunch of times. We've seen this in MLW before. We never really got the payoff first time around. We saw it also in WWE when they were both coming up through NXT. They had the pit fight match, which is the final match of their series, if you will. But this match was so good. Matt Riddle has been tearing it up every time he steps in an MLW ring, and this match was no different. Thatcher got his stuff in. Riddle got his stuff in. They hit each other extremely hard. Both men not wearing knee pads for the obvious fact that they want to hurt their opponent as much as possible. And when Riddle and Thatcher go in there, like you mentioned when we were watching the match, Thatcher is stiff, but Riddle is also stiff. So these two are just, they complement each other so well. Riddle getting the win and then announcing that he will be in Atlanta in June for Battle Riot, and he's already put a staple on it that he will win Battle Riot because he wants to finish what he started years ago when he faced Swerve in the finals for the MLW Championship Tournament.
Yeah.
So Riddle is not done. He wants to wear that heavyweight championship before he moves on from MLW again, whatever that may be.
And look, like, I'm by no means an authority on fighting or wrestling, but... There's a difference between, like, being a pro wrestler who gets hit as part of pro wrestling and you're used to it and stuff like that, mm-hmm. versus somebody who competes in actual unscripted, full contact combat, mm-hmm. and you do develop a tougher skin, like, figuratively in terms of getting hit. You're used to it. You know how to take hits. Some people can take hits better than others. Some people can take multiple shots to the head, and some people one shot and they're out. So when you had two guys like this who can hit and can take it, it's a treat for the fans because they beat the shit out of each other. Couldn't agree with you more. Matt Riddle's just been fantastic. I'm so loving his work in MLW right now. You could tell he's enjoying it too. He's really, it's coming out in his wrestling how much fun he's having there. So I thought this was fantastic. Riddle is has been the MVP of MLW since he joined for me. So
I don't, for the first time this show, I don't disagree. 100%. Next match of the card. What happened?
I said, that's right.
Because I finally agreed with you?
Yeah.
17
finally,
minutes.
You finally saw the light.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I'm seeing the light off something. Anyways, we're going to move on past your ego trip.
Is that a crack at my baldness?
No, I didn't say that at all. Oh, at all.
I thought you were saying, like, you see the light shine off my head.
I said I'm seeing the light shine off something. That's all I said. It's left open for interpretation, sir. See the light come shining. Even flow. Okay.
What the? All right, moving right along.
All right, next match of the card was our World Heavyweight title fight. Selena De La Renta, Promocios Dorado, trying to keep the momentum going from earlier on. The big win over Star Jr. And it's Badu Tito going at Kojima for the MLW Heavyweight Championship. And Kojima, I don't know if you caught that. I'm sure you did. But the rest of the announcers talking about how Kojima's pretty much been wrestling with a very severe knee injury the entire MLW run. Pretty much the beginning of this year when he returned. Every show we've seen up that this knee injury is getting worse, but he is a fighting champion. He refuses to not be able to defend. Smart or not so smart, we'll leave it up to him because he knows his body. Nobody else knows his body besides Kojima. But regardless, this match was great. Tito looked fantastic. He did not win, but he did look fantastic. He looks like he would be ready for another shot at that title very soon. Just tonight was not his night. And Kojima goes on to retain the title. And Selena not too happy with the outcome. But regardless, Tito put on a great show. I enjoyed this match. Wasn't my favorite match of the night. I will say my favorite matches of the night were our main event, the War Chamber, and Riddle and Thatcher, which was just fantastic. But this match was definitely up there in top three for sure. Again, Tito looked great, but Kojima retains. Knee injury and all, he retains.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was like amazing, but it was a good match. I had no complaints about it. I'm big on bad. Actually, it's funny, the show I worked on Friday, I refereed my first professional wrestling matches on Friday, and in the locker room we were talking about MLW actually, and I brought up Badu Tito, and it was a shout out to Sway Archer. If you're a wrestler, you've probably had gear made by Sway. So shout out to Sway, because he was like, oh man, Badu Tito, and we just, both of us were going off about how awesome Badu Tito is. I'm a big Badu Tito guy. And, you know, they went in this match, Kojima fighting through that knee injury. I think that could ultimately be potentially his demise as the first two time.
Well, that's what I said, right? I said he knows his body, and if he wants to continue fighting, nobody's going to tell him differently. Everyone knows that the more you prolong something, i.e. Seth Rollins, well, the worse it becomes.
You know your body, but you also push yourself. Like my coach pushes himself even when he's hurt. It shouldn't be working. He'll push himself to work because he doesn't want to not wrestle, right? So it's that urge to my health and well-being versus my need to wrestle. And as the champion, that's added pressure on you because you don't want to be a champion that just... So, oh, I'm hurt. I can't work. I can't wrestle.
The most difficult thing for any professional wrestler, and we witnessed this with Rhea Ripley in WWE just recently, is working, getting injured, and having to
relinquish your title. Yeah,
if you have to relinquish or vacate your title, that's the hardest thing for any pro wrestler. We've seen so many pro wrestlers break down in those moments.
Man, remember Finn Balor? Like, Finn Balor won the
title. Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, and like poor Finn, he won it. And then got hurt, had to drop it, and then never hit that same push level because somebody thought he was too small. Ridiculous.
Absolutely. And that match between him and Seth Rollins was a barn burner. And he hurt himself very early on in that match. Finished the match, and then obviously they went back and reassessed the extent of the damage, and he just couldn't perform. And it's unfortunate because he literally was the inaugural Universal Champion for one day.
Yeah.
24 hours.
It's sad. But anyways, back on track.
Kojima, listen, we love the fact that you're a fighting champion. We appreciate your spirit. Just be cautious. We don't want to see this title reign, the second title reign of yours with MLW, end abruptly because you pushed yourself too hard. And I get the need to want, the need versus want. I get that. But sometimes you have to be, I don't know your coach like you do, but sometimes you just got to give your head a shake.
Yeah. And you know, especially at that age and knees, how many people have we seen taken out by knee injuries and not able to keep going because of their knees? Wear knee pads, guys. Don't be Tim and Matt.
Oh, yeah, no, he was wearing knee pads. That knee was fully taped. Like, his knee pad looked like it was triple the size of the knee because of how much tape was on that knee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely Kojima, but he held his title, and he's still victorious, and he still is our MLW heavyweight champion. And now it is main event time. It is the Calling versus the Death Fighters. Death Fighters won the coin toss, so they, my apologies, Calling won the coin toss, so the Death Fighters come out first, and it was literally a two-on-one assault. I was surprised by who the Calling sent out first, and I was surprised by who the Death Fighters sent out first, because Jake Chris was sent out, Sammy Callahan sent out. These two kicked off the match, and not to say anything against so much the Death Fighters, because their side was packed with big names, Akira, Jimmy Lloyd, Raven himself. I thought for sure, to be smart or to be tactful, I thought the Calling was going to send out Cannonball.
Yeah, well, Cannonball, man, he took some punishment. He
took some punishment in this one. But this match was everything you figured a War Chamber match to be. It was violent. Everybody bled. Everybody on the Death Fighter side, except for Raven, bled. Akira bled. Jimmy Lloyd bled. Jake Chris bled almost instantaneously. But the Calling, not being able to prevail. And shout out to Cannonball, like Rob was saying. They actually at one point wrapped him, in barbed wire, and he took a back body drop onto a table, which Akira was on, and man, that barbed wire was digging into the big boy. You could see it, but he fought through it. What was the doctor's name?
Cornwallis.
Cornwallis. He had some great moments. At one point, actually biting the cheek of Raven.
So, do you know how close I was to saying Dr. Cornholio just by reflex?
Reflex alone. I saw it. You were fighting it, and you did a good job.
I was like, Dr. Cornwallis. But Holyo was right on the tip of my tongue.
But great match. Great spots. Jimmy Lloyd taking some huge bumps when they set that door up between rings, and Jimmy Lloyd was suplexed through it by Callahan and by Ricky Shane Page. But Akira finally getting justice and doing what Ricky Shane Page did to him only a few weeks ago at War Chamber 1. He wrapped him in that submission maneuver, that crossface, and use the barbed wire to wrench
the barbed wire.
The barbed wire, yeah, from Boston.
The Leafs got beat so bad yesterday it changed your accent.
I don't know. It just came out like that. Fuck, it wasn't on purpose, you son of a bitch. All right. Anyways, so the barbed wire between the lips of Ricky Shane Page, and it was too much for him. He taps, and the Calling are not winners this time around. Death Fighters are, and Akira making a very heartfelt speech talking about how he believes in MLW, and to believe in MLW like him, and he thanked the fans, and he was just such an amazing human being. We've met him in person. He's a fantastic individual. He's been on the show. Go through the Straight Talk archives to see that conversation. He was fantastic with myself and the mini host. And then Raven, just doing what Raven does best, pretty much giving Akira a huge endorsement, saying that Akira is the future of this business, and quote the Raven, nevermore. And as he was exiting, Joe Dombrowski, our resident poet, throwing down, there was a rapping at my War Chamber door. And I was like, and I just looked at Rob and I said, look at Joe Dombrowski, motherfucker's a poet, and he didn't even know it.
Poet.
And he didn't even know it.
Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Just making sure. I don't know. Sometimes you're not.
You know, I sometimes I get everything you say, just they're not funny.
Oh, so you just no-sell me.
I no-sell you, yeah, because you're not funny. All right, anyways, guys, that was my opinions on this one. Rob, what was your thoughts on the main event of War Chamber 2? This year was special because we did get these two War Chamber matches, which is great.
I think I liked this one more. The spot's really good. This is how you do, like, a hardcore match and make it good and not just, like,
well, how many
spots?
Hardcore wrestlers you have in there? I mean, you have the Godfather, one of the Godfathers, which would be Raven. And you have Akira, you have Ricky Shane Page, you have Jimmy Lloyd.
Like, when it's just all, if the whole match is just like, oh, we're setting up this tower of tables and we're going to throw a guy through it and then, like, lie there for a bit and then, like, do another. But it all made sense. There was a story they told in the ring. I really enjoyed this one. I loved seeing, you know, Akira getting put over there and putting over MLW, because really, I was putting them over in the locker room on Friday to all the wrestlers going, if you guys aren't watching MLW, like, what are you doing? I read out the card for this show, and everyone's going like, really? Like, that's a good card. I know, watch MLW. If you're not watching MLW, watch it.
And the even crazier thing about this amazing card tonight, this was free on YouTube.
Free.
You don't have to pay any subscription fee or any service fee. You just watch and enjoy. And if you have YouTube Premium, guess what? You don't have to worry about commercials. If you don't, you gotta wait 50 seconds and you skip. But other than that, This was free, guys.
It was awesome.
Completely free. So good. That's it for this recap of MLW War Chamber 2. I enjoy this event so much. I always enjoy it with this stupid bastard.
With Uncle Bobby B.
Yeah, baby. That's right. All right, guys. Don't forget to check the links below for all of our, click all our socials, follow us across all the other platforms. Peace, love, and wrestling. We will see you in June for Azteca Lucha in Chicago.
Adios.
We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore fine. Winter ready on the four ties. Heavy traffic during 4-5. Gotta hustle on the own time. Color people every port side. We just people.